This is Guardian Radio, your station for up-to-the-minute news and intelligent, interactive, and engaging conversations. 96.9 FM. The views and opinions of the hosts and guests are their own and do not necessarily reflect the views of the management and staff of Guardian Radio.
And welcome to another edition of Guardian Radio Today with your host, Pastor Dr.
Government officials, or those parliamentarians would come out with.
I am your host today, and I'm happy to be here with you. I pray that you all are staying warm with this, I can call it beautiful cold weather, because when the summer come, we can be crying for this, right? So I pray you are dealing well with the beautiful cool weather. We know it's going to be with us just for a short while. And then the heat will come barging its way back in. Today we have our special guest, Dr. Rudolph Tinker, who's going to be updating us with some of his, latest, I want to call it, something that I am very proud to share with you today. I'm going to let him do all of that. Before we dive over to him, of course, our phone lines today, 323-6232, 325-4316, 325-4259, the Family of Violence, 242-300-5720. We are streaming live on guardiantalkradio.com, and we are on Cable Bahamas 969 or BTC Flow Channel 612. Our text line is powered by BTC at 422-4796, 422-4796. And it's Dr. Tinker in the house.
Yeah, been in the house for about 45 minutes.
Yeah, listen,
here.
Man, I was dealing with our wonderful government officials, workers/. And it took me much longer than I anticipated, so I do apologize.
I think everybody would, as soon as you mentioned that, will know, say, boy, you finish early.
I know, right?
You finish early.
Yeah, I had some deadlines to meet, and I was grateful that they were working with me, so I got what I could get done. But I'm happy to be here, man. You have been busy, my friend. You have been busy.
Yes, man.
I want you to let the listeners out there know what you've been up to and how everything is faring, because I'm very proud. I don't want to say it the wrong way, but go ahead and tell everybody what you're doing, because we want to announce something very special today.
Well, hello, Bahamas, and happy to be back here on Guardian Radio. Just so you know, I still didn't get my money released from the bank.
What? Oh, my gosh.
I ain't get my money released yet, but wow. But still a good day.
Yeah.
I might have to go to Canada and fight that fight, but I ain't get my money released yet.
That's crazy.
Thank God I didn't need that money, because I'd have been dead 1,000 times already.
My Lord.
But so listen, I you know, most people, I mean, not most of them, I'm not saying I'm that popular, but a few people in the Bahamas would have known me over the years, probably from 2015 to 17, as I bounce around the various radio stations back home and get into frontline politics and contribute my foreign experience living abroad and of all the different things I would have done. Living in the United States and to give back, you know, I felt that coming home and doing that, it would have been a great appreciation to go and do that. And things didn't work out the way I planned them to work out, because I was very green, understanding how politics worked down there. Not that I was green to understanding the political process, but I was green at these political beasts down there. the different cults, which made it very cumbersome for a guy with my experience to come back down there and offer.
Yeah.
You think when you come back home and you have some qualities, you know, you would be, they would see what you have to bring and welcome you and guide you through and take you to the land of milk and honey. But
you would think
you would think so. A lot of people, don't appreciate that sometime. And we saw a little bit what Rick Fox kind of went through. But I heard now that he got a slot on the F&M ticket to go forward and do that. So even under this Pintard led F&M, I considered to come back to PLP. Chester Cooper and the Prime Minister to come back and do something when they were in opposition, got in. I mean, and forgot me like I was a piece of paper, a shredded piece of paper, you know,
garbage.
When I told the fella, "Hey man, you forgot this is me. We've been talking forever. I've been in your political groups," and he was like, "Who do you think you're talking to? I'm the Deputy Prime Minister of the country." Uh-oh. I was like, "Okay."
Yeah.
So you know, with me, I have very good knees. My knees are not bruised, and they're not cut up. So I don't bend.
Yeah.
I stay standing. You know.
Yeah.
Standing so much that I got flat feet.
Yeah.
But so nothing came out of that. Even though I assisted them in the groups from abroad, you know, with ideas and worked on the platform committee. You know, Pintard got in there now as the leader of the F&M, and I figured, okay, this is my boy. I knew him from 2014. You know, maybe something could work out here, even though they were looking kind of weak, but still it was a good opportunity to come in and contribute. I was just looking to come back and contribute, even though I would have to leave the U.S. and come back and give up a lot because I'm in construction here and got investment here. So I'm giving up a lot to come and contribute.
Yeah.
But again, for me, it feels like the right thing to do.
Yeah.
Is they don't like the diaspora. They have an issue with the diaspora. They want the diaspora to bring in all their experience, everything that they would have accomplished that could definitely benefit the country. Not saying we know more than anyone locally, but we have some ideas, just a little bit of ideas.
Mm-hmm.
But they want you to go to the back of the line.
Mm-hmm.
You know, and I think that's a misfortune because the diaspora is not going to come back with very strong skill and experience to come back to the back of the line,
right,
when we could be here and be at the front of the line.
Yeah, because we need your skills now.
Exactly. The skill set is more important than towing the party line, in my opinion.
Yeah.
You know? So based on all this, I said, you know, I said I'm not really done, but I'm done for now.
Mm-hmm.
I'm practically done for now. So two things were on the rising is that sometime next month, I'll be going back into the Army Reserve as a lieutenant colonel in the Army Corps of Engineer, where my job as a lieutenant colonel, which is one of the senior officers in the military, that will allow that position I'll be doing. We work on critical infrastructure in the United States and around the world.
Okay.
We, as the Corps of Engineer, we rebuild things.
Saying, Army Corps of Engineers, yes.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, we build things. So I was selected for a direct commission program to get back in the military. And guess what that was all based? Based on merit, based on experience.
They're paying attention to what you're doing.
Paying attention to what I've done over 5 years. Also, I've served in the military from 2000 to 2005. Wasn't have any idea to go back in, but this position opened up for people who have extensive construction and engineering experience to come back in the reserve or active duty to be able to help with the rebuilding of the U.S. infrastructure and foreign infrastructures overseas. So I took that opportunity and I just ran with it. So I should be commissioning sometime next month.
Excellent.
But besides that, I also decided that it's time for me teaching political science for 20-something years, knowing how government work and knowing the intricacies of government, politics, constitution, not just local, but international, I decided to throw my hat in the race. I was going to run for U.S. A congressional seat in Florida, but I decided not to touch that. I'll touch that at a later time. So I'm running for a Palm Beach County Commission. It's a commissioner. So what this position is, it's so Florida has multiple counties.
Mm-hmm.
Palm Beach County is probably the largest county and the most wealthiest county in Florida.
Okay.
Probably has a total of about maybe 2.5 million people. Not off the top of my head, but maybe $6 to $8 million is their annual budget.
Mm-hmm.
And this basically is at the commissioner level. There's a total of 7 commissioners and 7 districts in the county. And you run for each individual district.
Mm-hmm.
And once you win, you represent the whole county, but you only voted on by the people in your district. So my district would be over a total of 9 cities.
Okay.
And those 9 cities, if people are familiar with them, would be Wellington, Royal Palm Beach, the western part of West Palm Beach, the western part of Palm Beach County, the Loxahatchee area, the newest city in the county or in the state, which is known as Westlake. Also, the Bahamian diaspora, some of them 75 years ago would have went to the Lake Okeechobee area, which is Pahokee, South Bay, Canal Point, and Belgrade to cut cane on contracts about 75 years ago. So a lot of Bahamian descendants live in that area. Okay. Where they would have came to cut cane out in that area. Hmm. And I was campaigning in that area during the Martin Luther King Day event. And so to see all these Bahamian last names like Lockhart and Rule and Robinson was a very good connection to connect back with them and rekindle after they would have heard my accent and say, oh, my granddaddy from the Bahamas. I said, where? I don't know, but he's from Nassau. I love that Kung salad. You know? Experience. Now, these are the nine cities west of the Turnpike that I will be, once I win, I'll be managing. But the county abroad has much more than 9 cities. And like I said, the one good thing of me running in this race, because I do have aspiration above county commission, that if I win this, or when I win it, this could propel me into even a governor's race and possibly either run for a congressional seat, because it's a large county. This county, which is Palm Beach County, then you have Broward County, which is Fort Lauderdale area, and then you have Miami, which is Miami-Dade County. Mm. These 3 counties decide the fate of Florida on who's going to be governor. Okay. They also decide sometime a presidential race, because the way Florida is set up, Florida is a pivotal state. Mm-hmm. If you win Florida, there's a good chance you win the presidency.
Well, we remember the hanging tag.
Yes, exactly.
Remember the hanging tag, yes.
You know, so this is a pivotal run. You know, I've been a private citizen from the time I hit America. I don't like my business out in public. I'm very private. But the problem is, you know, to be able to do things, You got to give up some privacy. You got to get...
Yeah, you want to live a public life, so...
Yeah, you got to get into the uncomfortable seat. So a correction on that, $5 billion.
Wow.
And this budget would supersede, I think, the budget of... I think the budget of Bahamas might be close. Close to this budget. So it's a big deal. My total constituency, when you look at population, would be roughly around, I would say, 200,000 people. Whereas the county is roughly about, I think, 2 million or more. You know, and that's population-wise. Voting population is almost 1 million people. So I would say we are 200 million now. The last census that was done in 2020 put us at 1.5 million. But these counties, they grow very fast. Mm-hmm. And Palm Beach County is one of the more affordable counties than down south. But it's becoming very pricey. Mm-hmm. So I will be running against the current incumbent, which her name is Sarah Baxter. She's a first-time county commissioner. Mm-hmm. Now she's currently the mayor of Palm Beach County, and she's also just been endorsed by Donald Trump,
okay,
by President Trump. So a win against her is literally a win against the president, in a sense. So it's a big deal. I mean, this is the city that Donald Trump flies to every year. Not every year, roughly every weekend.
Yeah.
He comes to Palm Beach County. Wow. This is where the Mar-a-Lago's out. So this is a big deal.
Yeah.
This is a big deal. So hopefully it doesn't get down and dirty, but it's going to get pretty rough.
So we want to get into, I think it's, I want to say congratulations for you even having the foresight to put yourself in that position where you have an opportunity to shape your environment. And it's kind of sad that we don't have you here, you know what I'm saying, to help to shape this environment. But we're going to get into that and a whole lot more after we hit the news and after we pay some bills here on Guardian Radio today. I am your host, Pastor Dr. Cleveland W. Enius III, also known as Kahun Anku Sara. Our special guest today, Dr. Rudolph Tinker. We'll be back after this.
This is Guardian Radio. your station for up-to-the-minute news and intelligent, interactive, and engaging conversation. FM.
And we're back here on Guardian Radio today with your host, Pastor Dr. Cleveland W. Enius III, also known as Kahun Anku Sara. Our special guest today, Dr. Rudolph Tinker. And we're talking politics abroad and at home, because Dr. Tinker is offered himself for public office over in Florida. And we're discussing right now what he is in the midst of as he aims to be elected sometime this year for county commissioner. And so we wanna hear his process and also kind of juxtapose some of the things that he is proposing for his area in Florida with some of the policies that we have at home. You know, can his policies abroad work at home? And so Dr. Tinker, I think, you know, it's sad that you basically got to go put your skills to use over there versus bringing them home.
It's a sad case, but I'm 46, man. I'm not getting any younger.
Yeah.
And I can't come into anybody line.
Yeah.
When I could bring some good. Listen, I'm not saying I'm the best at anything, but I think I have enough to come maybe 3/4 to the front of the line. Definitely not to the back of the line.
Right.
Yeah. Definitely not the back. You might put me in the front, but I ain't coming to the back. Yeah. I might as well tell you that.
You got to at least be able to see the front. You know what I mean?
at least see the front in this lifetime.
Yeah. Yeah.
In this lifetime. And I tell you what, listen, I love the Bahamas. And listen, when I came to the U.S., my grandmother always told me, as you can see, I always reflect back to the grandmother. I'm somewhat of an old soul. Yeah. She said, boy, go to America and get as much as you can get.
Yeah.
As much education, as much experience, mm-hmm. because you know when you get all that, you know what you got to do.
Mm-hmm.
You know what you got to do.
Yeah. Yeah.
And it's always in the heart of someone that would have went abroad to do that.
Yeah.
But it will be nice if there's no restriction to be able to come and give. Now, we see Rick Fox, he's pivoting to come and give. And now, Pintad was one that said, hey, he's not like Minnis, and you got to go to I forget what they call those little groups, the constituency office or whatever they call them, and they would have the vote if they want you.
Mm.
But we saw this in many cases where that's not the case. And when I approached him, he said, "Oh well, I ain't Minnis. You're gonna have to go to one of the constituencies, and they're gonna have to pick you."
Mm.
You know. Mm. So I said, "All right." So my process, basically, when you look at how the process is in the Bahamas and let's compare the processes there, you either go to the constituency office and get selected by them.
You don't go to the constituents.
You don't go to the constituents. No. You just go to our office.
Yeah. Okay.
You know?
Yeah.
So this process here, so America is a democratic setup. You got a president that sits at the federal level. Mm-hmm. You have a governor that sits at the top of the state, and right below the governor is the county commissioners.
All right.
And then right below the county commissioners is the city, which is the city mayors.
Okay.
And the city council members. And then right below them is you have your towns.
Mm.
So at the county commission, we're the third level of government in the United States.
Right.
We literally run the state.
Right.
Compared to as the governor that runs the whole state, but the commissioners run the everyday hustle and bustle of what happens within that county. So, that's your school, mm-hmm. your roads, your police, your fire, your property tax, and all the infrastructure really comes from the county. Now, within independent cities that incorporate themselves, that will take care of some of the internal stuff in the city, mm-hmm. but the main roads, the schools, the sheriff, and all that other stuff comes from the county.
So let me ask you this. So number one, you were able to find a place on the ballot by doing what? You didn't go to some constituency offices.
So let's talk about that, right? Yeah. So you got a high hitter like me.
Right.
Right?
Mm-hmm.
a high school diploma, a bachelor's degree, 5 masters, a master of law, and a PhD. Mm-hmm. That's a high hitter. Mm-hmm. And on top of that, a black man and a veteran.
Right.
That's big time.
Yeah. Yeah. You're ticking off a lot of boxes. Yeah.
Ticking off a lot of boxes. Yeah. And on top of that, live in the constituency for 27 years.
Right.
So the way that would work is you would actually, you don't need approval from the Democratic Party. You don't need approval from any party to run.
What?
Not at all. You could just say,
you choose what ticket you're going to run on, basically.
You choose what ticket you want to run on. You could run as an independent. You could run as a Democrat. You could run as a Republican. You could even make up a party.
My Lord.
Because why? Because who has to vote for you?
The constituents. Yeah. Yeah. Yeah.
You know what I'm saying? The constituents have to run for you.
Right.
So as someone who taught political science, I'm projecting a shift in November. Because our elections, their elections is next month.
Okay.
Which we call those local elections.
Right.
So our county elections are with the presidential elections, the governor's race, the congressional race, which will be November 3rd. Mm-hmm. So I decided to run on the Democratic ticket because I see a shift in government.
Okay,
because people are getting fed up with affordability. So I think we're going to shift the U.S. House and the U.S. Senate. Will probably go Democrat this coming November.
Yeah, I think
so. And there'll be a shake up in the government.
I think so.
But besides that shift, what really made me do this is the affordability now is a crisis in America, but definitely is a crisis in Florida and a crisis in my home area of Palm Beach County.
Right.
Because property taxes are driving people to sell their homes and they're moving.
Don't go too fast.
Let's slow down.
How you get on the ballot?
Okay, so let's go back to that. So basically, to get on the ballot in the U.S., which the First Amendment of the United States basically says you have the right to petition.
Okay.
And and the right to petition means you could get a petition and petition to get on the ballot.
Okay.
Now, in Palm Beach County, you could get on the ballot in two ways. For this race, because it's a county commission race, you could either pay or you can get 1,362 signatures.
Okay.
I don't believe in paying the 8,000. I believe in getting the signatures. So I did take something from Bahamian politics by going and knocking on doors.
Oh wow.
I've been knocking on doors, getting cussed out, and dogs have been chasing me and getting the middle finger.
Wow.
So
I was privy to some of those conversations.
Exactly.
You know, Dr. Dinker called me in the middle of him doing this, so I've heard him. Asking for these signatures, yes.
Right. And I had to keep putting you on hold because those signatures, I drop all calls for a signature.
Yes, of course. Yeah.
So I've been in Royal Palm, West Palm, Pahokee, Canal. I've been all over my area collecting signatures. And I got to say, fortunately, I've been collecting signatures now for roughly 2 weeks, and I have gotten a total of 900 signatures.
That's in 2 weeks.
So this has been amazing because the things I'm preaching and I'm arguing, people, I mean, on both sides, Republican, Democrats, Independents, whatever. Mm-hmm. You know, they're down for that.
Right.
Because I'm running on everything that's we call it the dinner table conversation.
Right.
Things that are hitting the pulse of the constituents, which is affordability.
Right.
And home ownership because we're getting tax out of it. All right. Mm-hmm. So basically, I have a total of I got 9 something. So I need but I'm going to get 1,600 because some of them might be rejected. And when we mean rejected, because once I get all the signatures, it goes to the Palm Beach voters office, and they go through each petition to make sure the name on the petition match the person's signature, that they're registered to vote, or they live in the constituency where you're running. Mm-hmm. So if the signature's off, they reject it. If they can't read the address properly, it's rejected. And if they don't live in your area, they're rejected. And if they sign more than one petition, it's rejected.
Okay.
So it goes through an entire process to make sure that this person live where he say he live, they are who they say they are, and the signature must match the signature on the voter's registration card.
So right away.
Complicated.
Yeah, it is. No, but it is complicated. but it is a system that rewards merit insofar yeah. as you going out there and actually getting the signatures yourself. I wish we could see something like this in the Bahamas where it's not just the constituency office or the party deciding who is going to be in which area, but like the candidates and get signatures.
Exactly.
You know,
would be awesome in the Bahamas to do the petitioning. Mm. And one thing I'd like to see in America, if I do, once I win, is that I want to get rid of pay to play. We shouldn't yeah. pay to get on the ballot. If you can't get your signatures, that means ain't nobody into you.
Yeah. Yeah.
Ain't nobody into you. If you can't yeah. put in the work to get your, and many people can't get signatures, man.
Wow.
It is, dude, it's like selling. I grew up in the straw market.
Mm hmm.
So I know how to sell to a tourist.
Yes.
And you got about 15 seconds to sell before they walk.
Yeah.
So, yeah. So basically.
So those skills come into play. Yes.
Oh, my God. My straw market days are coming into play because you got to get them to stop.
Yeah.
And then once you get them to stop, you got to get them to write on a piece of paper, dude.
Wow.
Put their address, put their name, and put the date of birth.
Mm.
So you better sell your butt off.
Yeah. Yeah. Listen, I got someone on the phone line. Let me let them get into the conversation here on Guardian Radio today. Caller, you're live.
Yes, gentlemen.
How you doing, man?
It's a pleasure to have this moment with you all.
Indeed.
And likewise. What a timely topic.
Yes.
You know, first, Mr. Enos, I want to say you started on your own very well when you said vehemence like myself and maybe even my children and children wouldn't be able to afford land, and even if they go off to college and come back,
that's
and
right.
don't care what job they get,
yep.
the land would be
out of reach
mm-hmm. for them to have,
mm-hmm.
which should have been able to have freely in this country as a behemoth.
Mm-hmm.
And then Mr. Tinker came and topped it off, but he's a building contractor. I'm also one, too. I'm almost 70.
Okay.
And my father was one of the best builders in this country.
Mm. Who's your father?
And he never got a job from a government. No mm-hmm. PLP government or no government at all.
Okay.
But he was one of the best builders. And I just stress his name because a lot of them listening and they would know his name. His name is Hardin Lockhart.
Okay.
One of the best builders this country ever had
okay.
in Bahamian history.
Mm-hmm.
Okay?
Mm-hmm.
And it's a shame that this PLP government and the FNM government, both governments,
mm-hmm.
have good men like you, Mr. Tinker, and great entrepreneurs, behemoths all over the world, what could run this country and do things in this country to better this country, to make it the first-class country in the whole world, not just the Caribbean,
mm-hmm.
the whole world, and stifle this country and its people.
Mm.
And it's been going on from Sir Lyndon time, mm-hmm. but even before that, the UBP time, but the UBP that then did their time. We just thought that this PLP government and FNM government would have taken this country because they thought about majority rule. Only set of people rule in this country is them.
Mm.
A handful of parasites and termites.
At least they friends, lovers.
Exactly.
Yeah.
And it's not going to change.
Mm-hmm.
If we don't change to get rid of both parties, we're going to have it waste this next general election and waste it moving forward.
Well, I appreciate your call.
I pray to God that the whole Bahamas is listening
mm-hmm.
because you have to get rid of the two of them in order for better for your children, your children's children, and those to come. In time.
Wow.
A little bit of his time. And
wow.
what I imagine from Sir Lyndon, he rolling over his grave now to see who he left behind and see what they did to this country.
I appreciate your call, sir. Guardian Radio today, call you live.
Hey, good day.
How you doing, man?
And good day to your guest. You know, I was listening to what he was saying on the caller just now.
Yeah.
I don't think Sir Lyndon is like really rolling over in his grave. I wouldn't say that.
Okay.
Because some of what is going on started under him.
Right. so it ain't like it. Yeah,
especially with the land part of it and mm-hmm. and things again. My kids, I have a 25-year-old son who is now finding it difficult to find a piece of property I have a 20-year-old daughter who is trying her best, and I have a 16-year-old son up and coming. And these are persons, like you say, who may have to live with me or rent from somebody. I don't want them renting from nobody. They're making others rich.
Yeah.
I want them to have their own.
Yeah.
This is the Bahamas.
Yeah.
Can we make it where Bahamians can own a piece of property, especially young Bahamians? I don't mind not owning one at this point on my age.
Mm-hmm.
I've passed that stage, but I would like to see my kids have something so they can have something for their
children and your grandchildren. Yes, yes.
You understand?
Yeah, yeah.
So that is something we need a reform in this country on, land reform, proper land reform. Stop one person, like how I see we want to stop big companies from taking over all the properties and stuff. We need something like that. I don't know if we can do it. Might just say it, but still.
Yeah.
That is something we need to look into.
Yeah, yeah.
Stop our home from acquiring all the properties around.
Well, I appreciate your call, and I definitely, I want to hear what Dr. Tinker has to say, because I know he's doing some things similar over there in Florida. Dr. Tinker, let me just share something with you before you start. With regard to property tax, right, here in the Bahamas, I asked who pays property tax, right? So all the owners, individuals, corporations, partnerships that own property in the Bahamas are liable. For foreigners, non-Bahamians must pay tax on all real estate interests, including vacant land. For owner-occupied, so you're exempt for the first $300,000 of value. The next $200,000, they're going to charge you 0.625% of whatever the next $200,000 is. And then if you go over $500,000, they charge you 1% on the value of your property, right? I know you are in Florida. What are you doing in regards to property tax?
All right, so let's look that up. But first, let me give out my website. So my campaign website is www.rudolphtinker.com.
Mm-hmm.
And one of the first initiatives on my campaign trail is property tax.
Mm-hmm.
So I want to give that website again, www.rudolphtinker.com.
Mm-hmm.
RudolphTinker.com. And you guys can see everything that I'm doing right here in Palm Beach County. So when we look at it, first let's understand what's the purpose of property tax. Because you pay property tax in the Bahamas, but you don't really see what it's doing. So when we look at how property taxes run in Florida, so the state of Florida does not get anything from property tax. Property tax goes directly to the county and directly to the city. That's their money for their infrastructure. The only thing the state or the governor gets money from is sales tax.
Mm.
So that's when you purchase something.
Yeah.
Or any government function where you have to pay a fee for.
Mm-hmm.
Driver's license, different things like that. That's where the state gets their revenue from. Interstate commerce, the ports, and the state police officers writing tickets and stuff like that. Their revenue. But the majority of their bulk of their revenue come from sale tax.
Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm.
Okay. So when we look at property tax, when you raise it in the county, that money goes into, like I said, roads, schools, libraries, parks, recreation, all the internal infrastructure of the county.
Mm-hmm.
The county is responsible for keeping their county beautiful based on that tax money.
Mm-hmm.
The way property tax are paid in Palm Beach County, when you buy a house, they automatically come up with this ratio of roughly 2% the cost of the purchase price. So if you buy a home for $500,000, your property tax initially will be about $10,000.
Mm, per year.
A year.
Uh-huh.
But if you live in the house for more than 1 year, we have this thing called homestead protection, which your property tax then gets reduced drastically, probably from $10,000 maybe to about $5,000. And then they put a cap saying that your home cannot appreciate in value no more than 3% a year, which keeps your taxes low on your home.
Mm.
One of the biggest argument I'm doing right now for Palm Beach County is that I'm arguing that if you lived in your home for 25 years in your homestead home and you pay taxes on it for 25 years or more, eliminate property tax after 25 years. I think that's a lifetime. You're done. Go enjoy your life. You've already contributed.
Yeah.
Yeah. Or if you're 65 years and you live in the county for 15 years and you paid property tax, no more property tax for life. Give yourself a break.
Okay.
So I'm pushing because in Florida and in Palm Beach County, if you miss your first year of property tax, the county automatically sells your tax certificate to someone else and they hit you with an 18% penalty. Whoa. And then the only way you could pay that penalty off is with a cashier's check or cash.
Wow.
And then after that, if you still don't pay by the second going into the third year, they then do something is they sell your tax deed. And once they sell your tax deed, which is your property deed, your property is gone. So within 3 years, your property is gone.
Wow.
And I want to stop that. So I want to increase it from 2 years to 5 years, reduce the fee from 18% to 9%, but just eliminate taxes on those two groups I've mentioned earlier. So when you get old and you're retired, you don't got to work at Walmart to pay taxes. So that's some of the initiatives I want to control in Palm Beach County. But so when we look at it in the Bahamas is that they have to cap, $300,000?
Yeah.
So $300,000 is very low, and we already know things are very expensive in Nassau. I mean, the land costing you over $100,000.
Mm-hmm.
So if I had anything to do with property tax in the Bahamas, I would cap free property tax up to the first million because it's expensive there.
Mm-hmm.
And anybody over that million, I would charge them 3% property tax over the $1 million.
Mm.
So that's in your lower income people, they'll be free from that.
Mm-hmm.
But many foreigners have second homes in the Bahamas, so they're already used to paying property tax in their jurisdiction or wherever they're from. But you got to see what the property tax is going to do. And that's why you need local government to manage this stuff. Because the prime minister doesn't have time to deal with what's going on in Bernard Rood.
You want to know what it is, do with property tax, yo?
What do they do with it?
All right. Public services and infrastructure, right? The funds, the maintenance of roads, garbage collection, and public safety services. National funding assists with general government expenditures and capital development. General government expenditures. Let's see what else. They say applicability applies to both residential and commercial property. So basically, the funds for the property tax that's collected goes to garbage collection, public safety services, and then also to assist with general government expenditure and capital development. Now, the thing is, we know...
You see the problem right there?
Yeah.
You said general government
expenditure. General government expenditures, yes.
That has nothing to do with a Fox Hill community or a Pinewood community. That's going way out of the community into the central government. And that's the problem why we have...
The consolidated fund.
...bad infrastructure. Yeah.
Yeah, yeah.
They need to keep that money local.
Mm-hmm, mm-hmm.
Because the people in Pinewood paying property tax on their homes and their streets are still rough and their community is getting flooded, then what's the purpose of them paying property tax?
Right. And that's what's happening. That's what's happening in some instances.
Yeah.
You know?
So they need to definitely relook at that and try to realign where the property, you know, who gets priority with paying property tax. And it should be the homeowners from their own community should have priority to that money.
Right. Right. Yeah. So... yeah, so we could see where the difficulty comes in with regard to being able to follow any type of, trail with regard to seeing how this money is going to be spent, you know. Whereas in your instance, in Florida, you know exactly where that money is going with regard to property tax.
Exactly. When you get your tax bill, there's a list of items on that tax bill exactly to where the money's going to. Libraries, garbage collection, this, that, all these different areas. It shows you how much how much each department gets out of the full breakdown of property tax.
Wow. Wow. So what else you got? So you say property tax is your number one thing. What else you got you're advocating for?
Another thing we're pushing for, because remember, a lot of things I'm pushing for is local issues. So I don't get involved with immigration and the higher up issues because there's different levels of government to deal with that. So we're dealing with local issues. So one other local issue that I'm pushing for in my area is basically to deal with the building department.
Mm-hmm.
So, and a group of people known as code enforcement. So code enforcement is a division of the government where they come around and they cite your house or they cite your property for being out of ordinance or in violation. And just as the name sound, code enforcement, they've become too aggressive. They became too weaponized. So I totally want to get rid of that name and call them community development and soften them down that they need to actually approach the homeowner and help them and punish them because they got it wrong or they did something wrong and they didn't know. Mm-hmm. Because it can become very expensive and very cumbersome for someone to deal with some of these issues, especially in building and construction, that they have no idea about.
Right.
And then they hit you with all these tickets. You're being fined $100 a day, and you're just frustrated.
Yeah.
So we want to recall them in and say, hey, listen, you're not a police officer. We don't want you to act as a police officer. You're part of the community development team, almost like an urban renewal. So you need to act as such.
Right.
You know, we don't want you acting like the Gestapo here, harassing homeowners. Oh, you have a car in your yard. It doesn't have a license plate. Oh, you have a truck in your yard. No trucks allowed. Oh, you have a fence. And if there's issues, let's teach them how to correct it. But we don't want to start off by finding them and you costing them money because we're living in expensive times right now. So every penny that the homeowner can save goes a long way.
So that's
one of the other issues.
So the code violations aren't necessarily just for people who are in the process of building.
It could be for existing people, businesses, any building that falls out of violation. Now, we need that because some of the buildings would run down and become dilapidated or people got their yard dirty or, you know, you move into a luxury neighborhood and someone brings a pig and put a pig in their yard. Obviously, hey, this neighborhood requires, you know. So they have a valid job to keep the standards of the community nice. But at the same time, as in anything, if you let it go and it gets carried away, then people abuse power.
Okay.
So we just want to let them know your job there is to serve the people, not to aggravate them.
Sure. This text says, good day, Pastor Aeneas. I want to thank you and your sister Leah, who continues to carry on your family legacy. You are so admired for the wonderful work. We will always keep the memories of educator Cleveland Aeneas, my grandfather, senior, and all Aeneases who have impacted and your life in ministry in such a special way. Also, we congratulate Dr. Tinker for being a true Bahamian pace setter. So we got some people listening who appreciate what you're doing, Doc. And
also, too, man, many Bahamians got Facebook. If you have family abroad who are living in the U.S., listen, this might seem as a small race. It's a very big race. This is a very big race to win in Palm Beach County. So if hopefully the Bahamians and the diaspora listening, if you go to that website, rudolphtinker.com, there's a donate section, but you got to be a U.S. resident or an American citizen to be able to donate. So if you have any family in the broad who could even send $1 or $10 or whatever the case might be, it's a big win. Not just a big win for Florida, a big win for America, and a big win to see a Bahamian get a position like research to see if there's any other elected Bahamian officials that ever went to an office of this magnitude or even higher. If there is, shout out to them. And if not, I could be probably the first. So
yeah, we gotta
all
look that
hands
up.
On deck. Mm-hmm. Hit me up on Facebook. Like my page at Rudolph Tinker. Rudolph Tinker, you look it on Facebook. Like it, follow it, make friend requests because I want to get this information out everywhere. Because, again, I'm not going to stop at Palm Beach County Commissioner. It's a four-year run. But my goals after that would be, you know, depending on what the governor's race looked like at that time, would be to, you know, possibly run for that seat or congressional seat. And I might just be able to manage the Bahamas indirectly from Florida, you know, open some doors up, you know, open the colleges up, open commerce up, you know, make it easy for Bahamians traveling to and from, you know, Florida's the gateway to the Bahamas. So there's a lot of things Florida can do to contribute to the Bahamas and even a lot of things the county of Palm Beach County can do because we have the Port of Palm Beach in Palm Beach County where the cruise ships go directly to Freeport.
Right.
And some of them are going to Nassau and Bimini out of Palm Beach. So there's a lot we can do right from Palm Beach County.
Yeah.
Right from Palm Beach County. We have Florida Atlantic University here. We have Lynn University. We have Palm Beach State College. Who else we got here? We got Kaiser University here. So Palm Beach County is still vital.
Amen. Let's run back to the phone lines here on Guardian Radio today. 323-6232, 325-4316, 325-4259, the Family of Violence, 242-300-5720. Caller, you're live.
Hey, good afternoon. How are you?
I'm great, man. Thanks for calling.
Good, man. Boy, I had to call. I was just driving here. I'm Bahamian, but I have a house in Wellington.
I have You're right there, man. You could vote for me, brother.
I have four friends that live in the Wellington area, but they're dual nationals. But I've had a house in West Palm Beach area for more than 10 years. Now, I'm not trying to be whatever, but listen, don't try to change too much over there, my friend. Over there, I can tell you, as a Bahamian, I went to Florida. I bought my first house in Florida for $60,000. And because of the code enforcement and things like that, that they keep a standard on certain things. And that standard is what allows people's values to go up. I bought my first house for $60,000. I flipped that for $180,000, bought another house. I live in the Bahamas. I bought another house, $180,000, turned that into $260,000.
This the house you bought in the Bahamas or in Florida? This is the house you bought in the Bahamas?
No, these are in Florida.
Florida, okay.
This is in Florida. This is right in that area between Lake Worth, West Palm Beach, and now I'm in Wellington. But every time
what year was this?
I started about.
All right, well that's the economy crash, man. That's the economy. So
I've constantly gone up. I every house I bought. The point is what I'm saying is you can't go into places. You know, you have in the U.S. they have standards for a reason. Sometimes people can't adhere to everything, but the people in the state that do code enforcement. I'll give you an example where I live now. You're not allowed to have a barbecue grill on your back patio. That's the standard. You can't do it. You can't leave your car in the driveway. You know, in America, you live in the States. In America,
what city do you live in?
I'm in Wellington now.
Yeah, but are you in a gated community in Wellington or residential house or condo?
Yes, I'm in a gated community. Yeah.
Okay, so you think the government should tell you that you cannot have a barbecue grill on your balcony?
I didn't say that. What I'm saying is when you have code enforcement, I just use that as an example. I'll give you another example. Do you take your garbage to the road once or twice a week?
On Tuesday and Friday.
Exactly. So if you didn't take it down, what would happen?
Well, Wellington might give you a ticket, but some areas, you pull it in when you pull it in. Depends where you live.
What I'm saying, though, is if you don't take your garbage down, they won't pick it up. The point is, like I said, some people try to overthink a lot of these things. They have a lot of systems, especially in that area. I mean, that system right there, I mean, some of my friends have, they have public schools in their area there that are better, and these are not gated communities. I have a friend of mine that doesn't live in a gated community. The school where they live is better than private schools here. I have another friend of mine that lives down further south in Boca. Their kids went private school. They pulled them out and put it in public school. So don't try to change too much up around there.
Okay. So hold on one second. No, you're really, first of all, your approach is horrible. Saying don't try to change anything. You discuss one thing there and you're not listening to the full conversation. And that's how conversations get distorted. So first of all, I've been in this area for 27 years. And most of the complaints for code enforcement is really in Wellington because he just mentioned that you got a barbecue grill on the back of your porch and the government must tell you you can't have that. The government has no business telling you you own the property, that you can't have a grill or you can't park in your driveway. This is because he might be living in an HOA, which is a home association organization that restricts them from doing certain things. That's not the government. So let's straighten that out right now.
I understand.
Let me finish. Number one, you got to be careful what you say because you're saying it wrong. Now, I'm a builder. I've been out here since 1999. And as a builder, code enforcement has a rule. But when code enforcement gets out of control for relentless little stupid things, then it becomes a problematic. And these are the issues people are complaining about. Not to get rid of them, but to say, hey, listen, you guys are overstepping your boundaries.
What would be one then? Just give me one that you have an issue
with. Very simple. Simple. I live in Loxahatchee where the property line is an acre and a half, considered residential ag. You're going to tell the guy he can't have an RV in his yard. Are you kidding me? So what am I paying an acre and a half for?
But does your conveyance say that?
No, it has nothing to do with conveyance. An RV is not a permanent structure. It's not a permanent structure. So they, the county's going to tell you, you can't have an RV in your yard. You can't even, the other thing was, you can't have someone in the RV in your yard, or you can't have more than one RV. You can't have a commercial vehicle. So, again, people are paying countless of money in property tax, and they deserve a right to be able to use the land the way they see fit, but to a certain caliber. Obviously, we don't want pigs and this and that, but certain little stupid things, these are the things that we're talking about. Even situations
where... That's a gray area, though. But I, like I say, I have another name in a card right out there. You might know my buddy. He's out there as well.
I know him. He sells fruit trees. He's in the nursery. I know him. And even him, he has issues with code enforcement on his fence. So there's a lot of... I want to make the show about code enforcement, but I don't want to get the callers confused about I'm coming into America to change anything. Shit, I serve in the goddamn military. So I have a right to push my views.
Anyhow,
on what
just
I see.
It's a sweet area, man. You know, enjoy the sweet area. You're living good.
No. But
thanks, Carlo. Much appreciated, man. Let's take a break here on Guardian Radio today, so we can reset. There's a caller on the line, and then I got some texts coming through here on Guardian Radio today. So. Let's take this break, and then we're going to come back talking with our special guest today, Dr. Rudolph Tinker, politics here and abroad. That's kind of what the show is about. I'm learning a lot. I pray you guys are learning a lot. These are the things that maybe we need to, some of these things we can inject into our own politics. I don't know. But let's keep it locked here on 96.9 Guardian Radio. Fresh news, smart talk all day. Back after this.
Get ready for the biggest football game of the year, Super Bowl 60. We have the best seat in the house, 5 all-star team live at Anthony's on Paradise Island on Super Bowl Sunday, February 8th from 2 to 6 p.m. Enjoy giant screens, delicious fun food, ice-cold Kalig Bear specials, prizes and surprises nonstop. It's the place to be for Super Bowl Sunday, Anthony's on Paradise Island. Watch the Patriots take on the Seahawks.
Touchdown, Seahawks!
The Star 106.5 All-Star Team will be there to cheer you on from 2 to 6 p.m. It's the biggest Sunday of the year for the biggest game of the year, Super Bowl 60, live at Anthony's on Paradise Island. Don't miss it.
The City of Miami Gardens presents JITG Music Fest. Janae Aiko, Ludacris, Ashanti, Nelly, Glorilla, LMA, Maya, Joe, D Nice and Friends, featuring SWV, Donnell Jones, Case, Sunshine Anderson, and Kenny Burns, Isley Brothers, L. DeBarge, Stephanie Mills, and so many more. March 7th and 8th, Hard Rock Stadium. Tickets and info at jazzinthegardens.com. jazzinthegardens.com.
Love the show? Want to give your support? Become a sponsor today. Call 302-2300 for our rates and packages. That's 302-2300. We sponsor on Guardian Radio 96.9 FM. Fresh news, smart talk, all day.
This is Guardian Radio 96.9 FM. Fresh news, smart talk, all day.
Welcome back to Guardian Radio today. I am your host, Pastor Dr. Cleveland W. Aeneas III, also known as Kahun Anku Sara. Our special guest today is none other than Dr. Rudolph Tinker. Let's run straight to the phone lines here.
Let me just clarify one thing. Another caller raising my blood pressure. First of all, the guy comes in the country during the economic meltdown of 2010. So buy a house for $80,000 and sell it back for $100,000+.
Right.
That's why I ask him what time frame you're talking about.
Yeah.
Okay, so that was during that particular time frame. But seems like he doesn't understand what an HOA is. So you lived in the U.S. for a while, so HOA is a non-governmental organization.
Right.
When you decide to live in them, they will tell you what color you can't paint your house, how high your grass must be.
Yeah,
you
craziness.
Can't park on the
they was messing with LeBron James the other day. Yeah, because of his hedges or something. Yeah.
Right. So the government has nothing to do with that.
Yeah.
Because you decided to live in that community yourself.
Mm-hmm.
But what we can't control is abusive HOAs that become too Nazi-like. And
yeah.
people complain against them, and then the government would step in and try to look to see if what they're doing is abusive, because there was one point during the meltdown where HOAs was forcing people out of their homes because the HOA fees were crazy, and they were finding them like crazy and actually putting lien on their homes and trying to foreclose on it.
That fella just was happy he makes some money.
Jesus Christ, man. Come on, man.
He was like, listen, you messing with this flow, man. Don't mess with this flow.
Yeah, but you know, your little flow doesn't represent the majority.
He ain't living there. Yeah.
Talking nonsense.
Yeah, let's run to the phone lines here on Guardian Radio today, and then we'll hit some more texts. Call you live.
Good afternoon,
I'm calling. Hey, good afternoon. How you doing, Carlo?
I'm good.
You sound a little low. I ain't know if it's you or us.
I want to say congratulations to Ms. Dr. Tinker,
mm-hmm.
who is trying to aspire for a position over there in the U.S.
Mm-hmm.
and hoping that he will allow his tentacles to reach here in the Bahamas
mm-hmm.
to help to make a difference.
Mm-hmm.
I wish him every success.
Yeah.
And in West Palm Beach, you have a whole, especially people from Abaco.
Mm.
Yes.
Lots of them. I had quite a bit of family in laws there too. Some of them died out, some of them moved up higher.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah, further north. But, you know, my surprise from Dr. Thinker today is that he announced that Rick Fox has a position to run in the FNM when Dwayne Sand said, it is not going to happen. And Dwayne
I was about to ask him about that.
Chairman.
That's what I saw online. I saw that online.
So what's going on? You know more about the FNM than Dwayne Sand.
It's all over social media. That's why I said. They said they put somebody
I think
on
the
goddamn news.
No, but Dwayne said no.
I see some fake memes, Odell. Yeah.
So what's going on?
Yeah,
we
got.
So by about if that's the case, but I thought your boy, what the boy name again? Yeah, what the guy name? But have that chat group. Let me see if I can find a name. He say they pushed the boy out of God nails, man. So they say your boy's supposed to go against what the fella name now? Supposed to go against Mario Boleg. Who's my neighbor? Who? He used to be my neighbor.
Mm.
Who's that?
I say Rick Fox supposed to go against Mario Boleg.
Really? Man, they only could be scouting around with them. Yeah. Said it's not going to happen.
Yeah.
All right, that's good then. That's good. But thanks for correcting that. Richard Johnson, man.
Because I know the truth.
Well, we gotta confirm all these things. Out.
I'm trying to find out how you are in the USA running for a position there.
I know all the grits over here.
Yeah. I got to. That's the one reason why I kept Facebook, so I could listen to all the gossip.
And you can't listen to Facebook. All the gossip on Facebook ain't true.
Yeah.
No, I know. I got you.
Thank you so much, Carlo.
At this time. We need that.
Yeah.
Thank you, man. Take care.
Thank you so much, Carlo. This text says, just curious. Please ask Dr. Tinker if anyone ever said to him, go back to the Bahamas to fix his country instead of getting mixed up in their affairs. Have you ever had that kind
man,
of...
Man, listen, I on multiple occasions, occasions. It's just that, you know, they people are... if they understand how them local party politics is, then they could understand...
Mm-hmm. Who said that to you, Americans or Bohemians living in America?
Go back where? What are you talking about?
Like, if anyone has said to you to go back to the Bahamas to fix your country instead of getting mixed up in our affairs, are they...
No. Listen, let me tell you something. Mm-hmm. First of all, no one could possibly say that.
No?
Okay?
So it has happened or it hasn't happened?
No. I thought you meant someone said... should come home to the run. No, no one in the U.S. said that. No, man. Listen,
okay.
I'm a war veteran, dude. I'll tell them where to go back to.
Yeah. I got you.
Yeah.
I got you. Yeah, that's,
And one that's about to go back and serve again in the U.S. Corps, which many people have not done. So I got good standing here, man.
Yeah.
But anyway, it's not about the negativity. This is a positive.
That was just a question coming from one of the texts. I got a positive text, yo. Good day, Uncle and Dr. Tinka. I love listening to two positive Bahamian males who continue to show love and unity for our homeland, the Bahamas. The world will see the manner of your bearing, just appreciating your experience. That's another text coming through. So there's people who are listening, who appreciate what it is that you're saying. This next text, it says, Uncle, that's the first time I heard the cool-headed Rudolph Dr. Tinker lose his cool. But he was absolutely correct. That call is confusing an HOA rule with the government, which is apples and oranges.
Totally.
Yeah.
Not even apples and oranges. Canepes and tamarind. Totally distinct.
Yeah. I see we got another.
You know, he called in, but did you even understand what we're talking about, man? Jesus Christ.
He was happy he was able to make some money off that purchase. Yeah, yeah.
So everybody must suffer for him to make some money.
Yeah.
And the problem is, this is the same mindset that right in Nassau. I ain't worrying about no one else because I'm making mine, to hell with everybody else. You can't think like that, man.
Yeah.
You can't think like that.
Yeah. That's the mediocrity that we are kind of soaked in right now in this country. You understand?
Yeah. You know, listen, every April the county sells property tax, right? And they sell it because they want their money immediately. They don't wait for people when they become delinquent. Right. So they sell your property tax to investors. And investors buy it and they collect 18% annual return on your tax certificate.
Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm.
But in 2 years, you could lose your home.
Yeah. Yeah.
That's just, number one, that's inhumane.
Right.
You've been in this house for 40-something years now. You miss your taxes and you're telling me the government has the right to take your property?
It's crazy.
After paying for 40-something years?
That
and that's why if you watch the news right now, even the governor of Florida is pushing property tax.
Mm-hmm.
Trying to eradicate it because it's just not the right thing to do. It's un-American. This is a big deal, man.
This text, I guess they weren't listening earlier. They asked, are you Democrat or Republican?
I'm running on the Democratic ticket. There's a shift going on right now, so... Mm-hmm. You know, I'm hopefully on the winning track.
Yeah. Let's get this call in. Maybe the last caller today. Caller, you're live.
Good afternoon to the Venerable Two.
Hey, how you doing, my brother?
Dr. Anku, Ines, and Dr. Tinker.
What do you say, brother?
Yeah, all is good. Anku.
Hey.
You see the lights going out black? You see BPL, Robin, the next pack?
Listen. Gritty.
They Robin, who can't get inside that control room, mate?
Listen, I know it's views in darkness.
Yeah, views in black. But guess what? More of us was in the black bowl. I guess 20 states in America was black at the same time. That run deeper than a storm. You know, hurricane could do that. It's more like a solar storm or a polar shift. You see how cold it's getting? Hello?
Yeah, it's a lot of shifts going on. We can have a show on
actually,
it.
Actually, two days ago, there was Sunflare, man. Magnetic Sunflare thing.
Yeah.
They do it.
Yeah, and you got fish.
Down everything.
Fish, frozen fish coming up on the shores. There's a lot going on.
Dr. Tinker's trying to get talking foolishness.
No, you're right. Global warming is a real thing, man.
I'm talking about the solar storm, man. We ain't talking about that.
The
magnetic flux from the sun and thing. I mean, that instantaneously. You know, magnetism don't play with magnets. And motors ain't running with nothing but magnets in them, eh? Hello?
I appreciate your call, man. I appreciate your call. Thank you so much. So, Dr. Tinker, give that website out again.
It's www.rudolphtinker.com. And I tell you what, it takes a lot out of me to, like I said, I'm extremely private. A lot out of me to come and even offer myself here. Because, again, like I mentioned, I always wanted to do this locally over there. But, you know, I'm not getting any younger, so I feel like let me give this a shot, and The good thing right now is that I'm the only Democratic candidate in the race. The other two that were, the other guy, the one was in the race, he withdrew, and the other one that was coming into the race withdrew. So there's a good chance I'm not going to have a Democratic primary.
Yeah.
So on the opposite side, is the incumbent and another candidate, Republican candidate. So they'll fight it off in their primary, and I will go against whoever wins on the other side.
Okay.
So really, this is all hands on deck. Getting a lot of traffic, a lot of support. Like I said, even just to get 900 and something petitions in 2 weeks is a big deal.
Yes, it is.
It doesn't happen that fast. I mean, that's 900 signatures, 950. That's hard, man.
That's more than half. That's more than half.
Way more than half. Yeah. I only need 1362.
Yeah.
By the end of next week, and announce that I've made it, and then hit the campaign trail real hard and the fundraising. Because we're not going to become so active probably until around maybe August, September. Probably around September is when our elections get pretty heavy. Yeah. That's when the mudslinging start and the crazy ads.
All them crazy ads, yeah.
All them crazy ads, you know? So
vote for Dr. Tinker. He like Knapp and Tamron. Right. Yeah.
But the good thing is I have a good resume that will support what I'm doing. Compared to the other person that really doesn't have a strong resume as mine. So I haven't done much. Hasn't even been, not even a public servant or even a veteran. So I have a strong chance here. And that's why I decided this was the best time to get in it. But sadly, we need to reconvene probably another episode of this show because we didn't get through the processes. I really wanted to talk about the...
We'll do it again.
Wanted to talk about the finance, the campaign finance regulations, man, which will blow your mind. Like, for example, no one can't donate more than $50 to me cash.
Wow.
You know, and the maximum an individual could donate is $1,000.
Wow.
And it has to be recorded. It has to be some... I mean, it is insane that the campaign finance book is about 60 pages long and can't do.
Wow. Wow.
So it's amazing. So I would like to definitely talk about that so we could discuss campaign finance reform in the Bahamas. I said, boy, I see why the fellas in NASA don't want change. They don't want campaign finance reform because you got to show where that money's coming from.
Yeah.
You got to show where that money's coming from.
Yeah.
You got to show where that money's leaving, what you're spending it on. Mm-hmm. I mean, it is. And you'll go to jail if you misappropriate it.
Wow.
So it's very, very serious. Oh, very. I'm going to send you the book so you can see it in advance.
Yeah, so we can
make a show around all these things you're seeing in it compared to what's in the Bahamas.
Yeah. I appreciate it, man. Our special guest today, Dr. Rudolph Tinker. And my name again is Pastor Dr. Cleveland W. Aeneas III. The Talking Heads are up next. And that's Naughty and Mary Jane. So I know that they are... You know, they got another great show cooked up for you, so make sure you keep it locked here on 96.9 Guardian Radio. Fresh news, smart talk all day. Namaste, family. ¶¶